thank you, and we're happy and grateful, dear friends, to be on the air again with the wonderful gospel of the wonderful grace of God. Moody said to a young man one day, "Do you know grace?"
"Grace who?" asked the young man.
No, said Moody. "I don't mean a young lady. I mean God's grace. God wants you to know His grace." How right Moody was. God does want you, my friend, to know and experience the exceeding riches of His grace. And if you're not saved, He wants you to know what He calls the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Oh, if you don't know and experience this grace, do listen carefully to this broadcast. Now, most of you know that we have been conducting a series of studies on the metaphors, the likenesses, the illustrations of the Apostle Paul. We have dealt with the steward, and we saw that in a steward, in the head servant who governs the household, God requires faithfulness and ability. Now, these are all pictures of the various aspects of the Christian life. We're soldiers, too, or should be. And in the soldier, he says, God looks for courage and self-discipline. Then we come to the athlete, the one who strives for the masteries. That's Old English, but he's speaking of the athlete in the sports world. And he says, in him, he looks for conformity to the rules. Then we come to the farmer, and with the farmer, he looks for patient, unremitting toil, hard work. And Christians should not be lazy. They should be willing to work hard. And as he says there, it is the one who does the work who is or should be the first partaker of the fruits. And that is true. Now we come to verse 15. There's still another metaphor. Let me read it to you. Study, he says, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now here in this context it's clear that by workman he refers to the craftsman, the skilled workman. For he says we should put out the kind of work that won't make us ashamed later on. We have the same word in Acts 19:25, where we have the workmen that made the silver shrines for their goddess Diana, and in fact, in the preceding verse, they are called craftsmen. Now, in a very real sense, God's people, those who know His truth, should be craftsmen, skilled workmen for Him. And that's what God expects of us. How do we become skilled workmen, craftsmen? Oh, somebody says, that's a gift. So-and-so has that gift, but I don't. Oh, no, he may have a gift of expressing himself or whatever, but this is not a gift. He says, study to acquire it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this word study is a strong word. It means to agonize, to give oneself wholly, to applying oneself to getting a thing done and getting it done beautifully. You can't expect to be a real teacher of the word of God and not study to show yourself approved to Him, rightly dividing the word of truth. I say again, God does not make this a gift. It is not a gift. You have to work for it. You have to study for it. I'm glad, in a very important sense, that God doesn't give His richest truth to lazy people, beloved. He wants you to get down and ponder over His word. The very fact that He has spoken should make you all ears, as it were. And He wants you to study this book and to make yourself approved of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, those who seek to teach the word rightly divided are often met with the objection that 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's argued from this passage that it's dishonoring to God to divide the Bible into dispensations and emphasize the differences between them, since it's all for us from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Does this mean, then, that 2 Timothy 2:15 and 2 Timothy 3:16 contradict each other? Surely they do not. That cannot be. The fact is that they were written only a few paragraphs apart by the same author to the same person in the same letter. These two verses complement each other, beloved. 2 Timothy 2:15, where he tells us to rightly divide the word of truth, explains how we can get most out of the Bible, while 2 Timothy 3:16 declares that it was all given for our profit. All Scripture is indeed profitable when it's rightly divided, but when it's wrongly divided, or not divided at all, it's changed into a lie. The truth becomes a lie, and the whole becomes most unprofitable. 2 Timothy 2:15 is the key to 2 Timothy 3:16, and to understand the understanding and the enjoyment of the word of truth. One difficulty is that multitudes of Christians shrink from the effort involved in studying the Bible with a view to rightly dividing it. And alas, their spiritual leaders often encourage them in their lethargy. Some years ago, I heard a preacher exclaim, "Some say this is for the Jew and that's for the Gentile. This is for us and that's not for us. I take a whole Bible." Did he mean that we should not distinguish between God's program for Israel in Old Testament times and his program for the body of Christ today? Certainly not, but it sounded so. Did he mean that those who do thus divide the word do not believe the whole Bible? No, but he gave that impression. He discouraged his hearers from studying to rightly divide the word of truth by implying that those who do so discard parts of the Bible as not for them. And this preacher, sad to say, was representative of a large proportion of the spiritual leaders in the church today. Is it any wonder that the Christian masses use the Bible merely for devotional reading and often neglect even that? How can they be expected to have an interest in the study of the Scriptures when their leaders themselves fail to set the example? And one need but look about him to see the delinquency here. Where are the big Bible conferences of yesterday, held all over the land? Where are the great Bible teachers? How many pastors, what proportion of our pastors teach the Word to their congregations? And the missionaries and evangelists, oh, it's become a cliche. Oh, well, he's just a missionary. He doesn't need to know the Bible that well. Oh, what a mistake. As a result, the vast majority of believers really understand very little of God's Word. They know the basic facts of salvation, but seem quite satisfied to remain ignorant of the precious truths which, if they but search to find them, would make them workmen whom God can approve, not needing to be ashamed of their service for Him. Well, beloved, that's why the Berean Bible Society was first organized 42 years ago. It's an organization for the promotion of Bible study. And we're here to help you understand and so enjoy the Bible. But rather than study to attain a better understanding of the Word and become proficient in His use, many actually boast that they're satisfied with the simple things. Have you ever heard that? This after all the earnest prayers of Paul, that believers might be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, that they might know what is theirs in Christ, and comprehend the breadth and length and depth and height of it. This after all his labor and strife and conflict, I'm using his own words, that they might have the full assurance of understanding. Ah, that assurance you have in your heart right now can disappear fast when trouble comes, my friend. You need the full assurance of understanding of which Paul speaks in the closing verses of Colossians 1 and the first two verses of chapter 2. I say this after all Paul's prayers, that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's Colossians 1:9. This after a stern rebuke of those carnal babes to whom he could preach no more than Christ crucified. He said, I determined to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. Why? He says, oh, you're still babies. You can't digest the solid food of God's truth. Well, lazy Christians often consider themselves quite spiritual merely because their emotions are so easily aroused. They boast of their contentment with the simple things, while they should be ashamed of their indifference to the Word of God. They claim great devotion to God, yet neglect the one great means of knowing Him better. They profess fervent faith in Him, yet scarcely trouble to find out just what it is that He said. They do not, like David, meditate on God's Word day and night, nor, like the prophets, inquire and search diligently as to its true meaning. I want to give a little personal testimony here as to the delightfulness of the study of the Word of God. I'm writing a book, an in-depth study of that knotty question for many, baptism. I've studied it for some 50 years, and for 42 years I've written considerably on it. Now I'm writing a book, and do you know, it is amazing as I study the subject and go into it how much more I see again, and especially how much more I see of the wonderful harmony of the inspired Word of God. But He can't give this to you, my friend, if you're lazy, if you don't, like the prophets, inquire and search diligently as to the truth of God. The results of this lazy attitude toward the Word are appalling. For such people may trust Christ for salvation, but beyond this, they exercise, in most cases, the blindest, most superstitious faith that can only dishonor God. Feelings are taken for facts, and their own wishes for God's Word. They go into wrong paths, saying, but I prayed earnestly about it, and now I feel perfectly at peace, as though that settles anything. Our prayers, beloved, are just as full, just as filled with error as our sermons are, and God knows we need them to be greatly improved. They say, the Lord spoke to me. When people say that, the Lord spoke to me and told me to do this or that, I always go into it further. I ask them, could I ask you a question? How did He speak to you? And it turns out to have been nothing more than a feeling. They say the Lord spoke to me and refer to some feeling rather than to some passage of Scripture consistently applied. Thoughtlessly, they say, if it's in the Bible, I believe it. Yet as they read the Bible, they take to themselves only what warms their hearts and then take two aspirin tablets and forget the rest. They take all the blessings, as somebody said, and give all the curses to Israel. But those who boast of their contentment with the simple things and oppose dispensational Bible study on the ground that all the Bible is for us have certainly missed the fact that all Scripture was given that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished to every good work. Read it, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. There's a great difference, beloved, between the child of God and the man of God. Demas could not be called a man of God. He might have been a child of God. But only Timothy and Titus and such men could be called men of God. And no one who remains an infant in the truth can be approved as workmen for God or as soldiers of Jesus Christ and all the other metaphors included. Ah, no. God approves only those who rightly divide the word of truth and soldiers who earn honors as they wield the sword of the Spirit. Now, I can sympathize with those who have begun to study the Bible dispensationally, and the poor things have so much to unlearn, so that it seems at first confusing to them. But now, be patient. Isn't it true that the study of almost any subject is confusing at first? But as we persevere, we begin to understand and reap the fruits of our toil. Indeed, to any thoughtful person, the Scriptures must continue to be confusing until they learn to rightly divide and so to understand them. And what joy can compare with that of coming into a fuller understanding of God's Word? It's written concerning the great spiritual revival under Ezra, when the law was read and explained to the people of Israel. I'm quoting now, "And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send gifts and to make great mirth." Why? Because they had understood the words that were declared to them. Ezra did something wonderful there in Nehemiah. They did something wonderful. They got the leaders in Israel to mingle with the people. And as the law was read slowly, they explained to the people just what was being read. Well, studying the Bible dispensationally or rightly dividing it may seem confusing at first, but actually it dispels confusion, explains difficult problems, reconciles seeming contradictions, and lends power to the believer's testimony. If I should step inside a modern U.S. post office, all would doubtless seem confusing to me. But it would be a mistake to suggest piling all the mail up neatly in one corner and then advertising, "Come and get your mail." Ah, no, the postal employees must rightly divide the mail so that each person receives what is addressed to him. What seems like confusion to the novice is really a simplification of the work to be done in getting each person's private mail to him. It's granted that in the Bible, even that which was addressed to those of other dispensations is given for our learning and profit, but we mustn't confuse this with our own private mail. While I'm reading mail addressed personally to me, a friend may hand me, for my interest or information, mail addressed to him. His mail and mine may all prove informative and profitable, but I must still be careful not to confuse the two, expecting to receive things promised to him or carrying out instructions addressed to him. Thus, all the Bible is for us, but it's not all addressed to us or written about us. And if we would really understand and enjoy it, if we'd really know how to use it effectively in service for Christ, we must be careful always to note who is addressing whom, about what and when and why. We must rightly divide the word of truth. So let me just quickly give you a resume of what we've studied. God says Christians should be stewards, and in stewards he looks for faithfulness and ability. In soldiers, and Christians should be soldiers, fighting the good fight of faith. He says in soldiers he looks for courage and self-discipline. In the athlete, he looks for conformity to the rules. Play the game as you should. In farmers, he looks for hard work unremitting toil. And in craftsmen, he looks for skill. And beloved, we should be, by the grace of God, spiritually skilled to work for him. And there's no other way but to study, that we might not be ashamed, but rather approved of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, I hope this series has proved a blessing to you and will make of you, my Christian friend, another person altogether, as it did, by the grace of God, of me. Now there is no greater delight to my heart than to study the word of God.